deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, man, there's so much. We'll get into Hebrews. Sometimes there's so much about that. But boy, that just is a summary of the Old Testament prophets and Old Testament saints and all the suffering that they overcame. They endured. They were faithful. God granted them the power, the grace, and the strength to endure all those things. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You see similar suffering by saints who endure. There's a book, In the Days of Edith. It's published under another name now called The Bible Makes Us Baptists, I think so it's called. And it tells of the Anabaptist suffering. And some horrible stories of the women carrying their babies, and they would grab the baby out of their arms and throw it into a frozen lake, and the baby would drown, and the mother would have to watch it. And but they just kept on for the Lord. Of course, they had the hope that the world doesn't have, and that is that little baby went to be with the Lord. That mother knew she's ready to die a martyr's death because she knew the moment she did, she'd be with her baby in the presence of Jesus again. So that's a hope that the world has no knowledge of. They know nothing of it. Some highlights of suffering among the prophets include the following. We're going to do a little reading. Let's start with Brother Charlie there with 1 Kings 22, 23 through 25. And then Brother Jim, if you read 1 Kings 22, 26 through 28. And Kim, 2 Chronicles 24, 17 to 21. Johnny, Jeremiah 20, verses 1 and 2. Jessica, Jeremiah 26, 20 through 23. Then I'm going to jump up here. I skipped Janie, Jeremiah 37, 14 through 16. And then Mary, Jeremiah 38, 4 through 6. Now, each of you got your own. You got it? Hello? I know some of you do. I just want to make sure you got it, so when I change the slide, we can move on. The only one you have to remember is the one I gave you. So the first one we're going to read, a little-known prophet named Micaiah suffered at the hand of Ahab. That's 1 Kings 22, 23 through 25.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself.
Speaking the truth of the word of God, and what they do, spank. Beat him. Of course, they beat Jesus. You remember that? Punched him. Blindfolded him, said, tell us who hit you. So Micaiah was thrown into prison, but remained faithful as far as we know. 1 Kings 22, 26 through 28, Jim.
And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Jehoash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you.
Say his name, Micaiah.
Micaiah.
You say it one more time. Micaiah.
Micaiah.
I just want to point that in your head. It's a prophet you want to remember. They beat him and then they threw him in prison and gave him bread and water. And when you read about those prisons in ancient times, they were not the type of prisons we have today.
Yeah.
Now prisons today, because of the prisoners, can be still bad. But the prisoners are the problem. But outside of that, it's like a country club. And free libraries, free dental care. You can go to college and get a degree or finish your GED and, you know, all these things. And not Micaiah. just a dark, dingy dungeon. So then the third one we're going to look at is Zechariah, the one that doesn't come to mind for most people. The son of Jehoiada, the priest, he was stoned to death in 2 Chronicles 24, 17 to 21.
Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And after they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served the groves and idols and the wrath that came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespasses, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why trespass ye commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord.
Stoned him to death. I don't even encourage you to go out and look at it, but I actually saw a video of a Muslim stoning. It's a woman who had been raped, and they stoned her.
Why?
Because they're idiots. They're evil. And so they blame women for being raped. In Sharia countries, they stone them to death. And it's a... if it's not done the way God intended it to be done, it is a quick end to life. But the way pagans do it, they don't do it quick, and it's a long suffering that people go through. They actually, even in some countries, after they'll stone them near death, and then they'll pile rocks on top of them and bury them alive. And we don't know for sure how quickly Zechariah died, whether he suffered. But we're going to meet him. That's another thing you think about Micaiah. I'm looking forward to meeting these people. You know? And Micaiah and Zechariah. So there's some etchings from Fox's Book of Martyrs on the left, I think, is. And then on the right was a Martyr's Mirror, I think, was another book that they depicted the stoning just to show you what it was like. They'd have these big, huge rocks, and it would be one or two blows to the head, and they were dead. But still, a terrible way to die and a terrible way to kill a prophet. A prophet of God. So number four, fittingly, Johnny mentioned Jeremiah, so we'll let him read this. Jeremiah, if you read books and commentaries, he's known as the suffering prophet. And here, we're going to see him placed in the stocks, Jeremiah 21 through 2.
Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord.
Now, the stocks, we're not talking about Wall Street. how many of you have seen this? You go to Williamsburg, and I know there's a picture somewhere of me in one of those, and also a picture of me with my head in a cannon. But that's another story. But I have no idea who this man is, but he does a good job of... now, I got to tell you, somebody with breathing issues, that would be real torture. Been over like that, and if you have back problems, if you had a bad back or neck or anything, that's bad enough for someone in good shape. And they would leave them there for sometimes days. And I guess they left some there till they just died, you know. And so they put Jeremiah in one of those. Now, we're going to look at Urijah. How many of you thought of Urijah off the top of your head? Yeah, there's some great guys in the Bible that, we need to really, I think, it's just, put yourself in those shoes, you know, being Zechariah, for example. And we get to heaven, and most Christians are like, and who are you? Zechariah, you know, Jehoiada's son got stoned to death. Oh, is that in the Apocrypha? I don't remember that. So I just encourage you to get familiar with these guys. Urijah was slain with a sword in Egypt. Jeremiah 26, verses 20 through 23. Jessica.
And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim.
There you go.
Whatever.
No, not whatever. You said it.
Who prophesied against the city and against the land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid.
Wait, it's Urijah.
Oh, excuse me. Urijah.
There you go.
Heard it. He was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely El Nathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him in Egypt.
You said those names exactly right. What? I don't understand.
And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people.
But don't lose sight of Urijah. And I only correct you on that mainly because there's a J in there, number one. If we were going back to the original pronunciation, it'd be Urijah or Urijah. But in English, it's Urijah, because there is another Uriah, so we don't want to confuse these things. But Urijah is like one of those prophets that people just are totally oblivious to his death as a prophet, you know. And he died with a sword in Egypt. All right, so Jeremiah, again, was in prison on more than one occasion. We're over to Janie. At Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 14 through 16. So we'll read about Jeremiah again.
All right. Then said Jeremiah, it is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but he hearkened not to him. Is Urijah? Took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah had remained there many days.
They were accusing him of being a traitor. That's really what they're accusing Christians of today. It's like we're not true patriots because we're warning people the New World Order is bad. The coming world government is wicked. government control of your health care is death, and you're the bad guy for telling people that. And that's basically what happened to Jeremiah there. Number 7 is also Jeremiah dropped into a miry pit and left to die in the next chapter. Jeremiah 38:4-6. Mary?
Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire.
Think of that. Again, accusing him of being a traitor, basically. And they put him down in this dungeon. And it was mire. And they were just going to leave him there. I mean, just kidding. I don't know how to bring you to the point where you really can grasp what kind of suffering these guys went to. But as you read these things, you got to sit down. You know, that's what the word meditate. Think about it. Think about what they went through. One of the things we've encouraged people to do, especially when we're studying the resurrection and such, the cross. Before he went to the cross, he was in the garden, and he was in such anguish that he sweat blood. And there's a medical explanation for that happening. And then, of course, Jesus describes those who would kill him in Luke 11. This last place I think we're going to turn, but Luke 11. Jesus, did you know he was a prophet? A lot of people, you say Jesus the prophet, they think you're deriding him or saying, no, he was a prophet. He was a prophet, priest, and king. And he's more than a prophet, but he is a prophet. But as Jesus being God manifest in the flesh, walking as a man among men, and he prophesied. And here in Luke 12, we studied this, or Luke 11, I'm sorry, we studied this not too long ago in our Sunday expository study of Luke. He says in verse 47, woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Think of that. He's saying, you build these. You know, a lot of Christians are like this, you know. They will build monuments to men, but if those men were alive today, think of the Lutherans, for example. Lutherans build monuments to Martin Luther. If Martin Luther was here, he'd shut 3 out of 4 Lutheran churches down. The Methodists, they've got a museum down in Nashville you can visit, and all this stuff about John Wesley. If he were alive today, he would shut them down. Yeah. And that's how they do. That's how the Pharisees did. Their fathers, they were of their fathers who killed the prophets. And he says in verse 48, truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. He says it again, just for clarification. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And Jesus basically summoned that whole thing up that we were talking about. That was everything we read just a moment ago, all those prophets that you read about, Uriah and Zechariah, Jeremiah, etc., those Micaiah, they're all in that statement that Jesus made. He's including all those. And those who suffer faithfully are recipients of the pity and mercy of the Lord. And that's something not to forget. When you see people suffering for the Lord, Don't think, oh, those poor people, they're left to die. They're left to suffer. They are not alone. The Lord will never leave nor forsake them. And you may not be able to see it, but they will experience it. And so we go back to our text to close in verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very
pitiful
and of tender mercy. Kind of like Charlie back there, that little baby. Full of pity and mercy for that little baby. She can't do for herself. She's helpless. She needs mommy and daddy.
She's all cute though.
That's you and I. We're helpless. Yeah. Jessica, focus.
I'm sorry.
Your father looks at you like you're just looking at that baby. That's right. We think, because everybody's so full of themselves these days. Uh-huh. And even talk, look in the mirror and say, I love me. You know? A lot of the counseling and therapy, so-called, is to tell you to love yourself. And to think of yourself in glowing terms and all that. The best way to look at yourself is a helpless sinner who, but for the grace of God, would be in hell. But for the grace of God, you're never going to hell. There's two words so many times in your life. But Jesus. But Jesus. You can say, this and that. I don't like to talk a lot about my BC days, but somebody asked me today about, you know, how did you get COPD? And I had to admit, I had a lot to do with it. Before I became a Christian, my behavior, my smoking, both hands, if you know what I mean. And that contributed greatly to it. And everybody knew me as I was an athletic, you know, guy. I was always all baseball, basketball. I really didn't think about summer, fall, and winter. I thought of baseball, football, basketball. Those were the seasons, the changing of the seasons, you know. I was active and I loved to be out and I'd hunt and fish and hike and whatever. And then it came the time, my mid-30s, I couldn't do any of that. And people say, how do you deal with that? How do you cope? And I think, well, first of all, I know I should be in hell right now. I just know I should be in hell right now. Haven't you seen stories about people who die and are brought back or near-death experiences or whatever? And what do they say? They have a new appreciation for life. Well, once you realize you should be in hell and you're not, your demands disappear. You suddenly are just happy and content with such things as you have. Well, Lord, if this is how you want me to go through the rest of this life, I'm looking forward to that glorified body. And I'm going to be back to being Mr. Athletic. And we're going to do things like that one of these days. But no grudge against God, to borrow from last week's study. But I think there are a lot of people holding a grudge against God because they think they deserve something that they don't even deserve. And they think they're being cheated when they're not being cheated. They don't deserve anything. And once you think you deserve something and you're not getting it, you're wrong. And then the fact is we serve a wonderful Savior who suffered in our place for our sin. That's another thing to meditate on. You not only should be in hell, but He's the one who paid for your sins. God could have said, okay, I've added up your sins here in my little calculator, and you are going. This is how the Catholics do their purgatory thing. They think God says, well, you're going to suffer for 3.4 million years in purgatory and burn, and then you can come out. And thank God, literally, thank God You do not pay for your own sins, because the fact is you'd have to just suffer forever. You would never pay for your sins, because you've sinned against an infinite God. The penalty is infinite. And that explains an eternal hell.
When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Say praise God.